Morning, guys. Last week we learned from Paul's teaching all about living a life of light in the darkness. And this week we're going to continue on with that thought as we look at the next section of this letter of Ephesians. Now, have you ever tried to walk somewhere in complete darkness? Sometimes even the most familiar places could become pretty dangerous. Have you ever tried to make your way to the toilet in the middle of the night without turning a light on? You could step on something that hurts you, you could stub your toe, or maybe you've walked into a wall where you thought it was a door. I've done all of those things. Recently, me and my friend were out for a walk, and we were walking along and we came to this sort of country lane, and we looked and we saw the sun was kind of going down, but we thought, oh, we'll be fine, we'll just go for it. So we started walking along this country track and we realised about 10 minutes in, oh, I think we've made a bit of a mistake. It was getting really dark, and the further along we went, the darker it got. There was no street lights, there was no lights from houses, there was just woodland all on one side, and it became really frightening. We couldn't see in front of us, we couldn't see behind us. We had to actually use the light from the torches of our phones to direct our path. We couldn't see anything in front of us. You know, we read in Ephesians 5:15, so be careful how you live. Now, this is literally translated, be careful how you walk. Or in the Message translation, it says this, so watch your step. This so part of the verse relates back to what we have learned last week about living in the light. Think of that image of me and my friend walking along in the pitch dark, needing light to help us see our way. We had to have help to show us where to go. We too need the light of God to direct our path, and it's only when we allow the light of God to illuminate the path and direct our step that we are able to live the kind of life that God has for us. In today's passage, Paul is going to connect living the light with living a wise life and being a wise person. In Ephesians 15 and 16, Paul compares and contrasts living a life of wisdom with living a life of folly. In Ephesians 15, he says this, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And he repeats the same thought with different words in verse 17. He says this, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So we learn that a foolish life, living a foolish life, is living a thoughtless life. And living a life of wisdom is understanding what the Lord wants us to do. God's wisdom is actually the proper foundation for the way that we believers can live. He is continually providing it for us. We need somebody to show us the way. In the book of John, we learn that the Father has sent us an advocate, the Holy Spirit, and we can read what he does for us. In John 14, 26 to 28, this is Jesus speaking, he says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. Being a Jesus follower means leading a thoughtful life. If you follow Jesus, you will become wise, because as you spend time with him, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and transform your thoughts so that you think the way that God thinks. This is the opposite of living a life of folly. You know, a foolish person might just thoughtlessly wander through life, going with the flow and not really thinking about their actions. Another foolish way of living is when a person acts on every desire, every compulsion, and every impulse with no regard for God. Paul is tapping into the rich history of biblical teaching on wisdom. You know, in the biblical story, the wise are not those who live according to their own wisdom, but those who meditate on God's word and learn his ways. In Proverbs 4, verse 11, it says, I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. You know, the good thing about walking on straight paths is that you don't waste time and you get to your destination quicker. It helps you avoid unnecessary detours or perhaps getting lost. Recently, last weekend, we went on a cycle, and it's a cycle that we've done lots of times, but we know that the cycle goes further than we've ever gone before. And we've kind of always wanted to do it, but there's different ways that you can go. And this weekend we thought we're going to do it. But we got to that section where we hadn't ever been before. And there was a couple of ways, and I was a bit concerned, like, which is the best way to go? Now, my husband, he doesn't like to ask for directions. So he thought, let's just crack on, we'll be fine. But I thought, these guys over here who look like they're cyclists and look like they've done this before, they might be a good people to ask. And so eventually we asked. We asked the guys and they were really good. They told us, yep, go this way, turn right here. They told us where to go. And off we went, and we were confident because we had directions and we really enjoyed the ride. As Christians, it is important to ask for directions. In verses 15 and 17, Paul is talking about the difference between wise and foolish living, but right in the middle of between these two verses, in verse 17, Paul says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Now, the Greek word that has been translated as making the most of is exagorazo. Sure, that's probably not the best way to pronounce it, but okay. Which literally means to redeem or buy up. We have a similar way of talking about time when we use this buy up idea in our culture when we talk about what we spend our time on. Paul is actually telling us to redeem the time, but redeem the time from what? Make the most of or redeem every opportunity in these evil days. When he says in these evil days, what does he mean? This phrase is talking about the times that we live in. We are reminded of the tension we live in and that we live in the in-between ages, the now and the not yet times. The kingdom of God has broken in on earth through Jesus' death and resurrection. This present age is passing away and God's kingdom is coming in all of its fullness. Paul says that even though we live in this evil age where the world is not yet fully restored, we are also citizens of the kingdom that has come and is coming. We are carriers of the light, knowing that at any minute God's kingdom can break through. And it is foolish to only live for this present age when we are actually inheritors of God's kingdom that is coming soon in all of its fullness. We are to live with our eyes open, watching our step and redeeming time, living up to our identity and who we are in Christ, and taking every opportunity to bring light into the darkness. Redeeming the time is living our lives for the kingdom of God. The problem is, if we are not aware of what we carry, we can allow our life to slip by like water just flowing down a stream without any purpose or intention. It is important that we look at where we spend our time. Do we invest in the kingdom of God, which will last forever? Or are we investing in this present age, which is fading away? Investing our time in things that will fade away, like living selfishly, indulging our own desires, living for our own satisfaction, and trying to just get more and more and more and more stuff, is not a wise way to live. Fools say that this life is all that we have. This present age is on its way out, but the kingdom of God, which has broken in, is going to be fully realized. Jesus is coming back, and he will bring with him a new kingdom. He will bring in the new kingdom. We live in the in-between times. As Christians, we already live in the reality of this new life God has given us. The kingdom of God is coming, but it is already here now. So be wise. Let's think about what we spend our time on and invest in things that matter now and for eternity. Things like loving our neighbour, giving sacrificially, and thinking of others above ourselves. What does wisdom look like in our everyday lives? Well, one thing it means is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listening to what God wants us to do rather than just aimlessly going about our day. It's going through our everyday lives whilst keeping our eyes and hearts open to the Holy Spirit. It's asking God what he wants us to do when we go to the supermarket, or it might just be when we're chatting to our neighbours or friends. It's making the most of every single opportunity, and it's continually asking God, how can I bless the people that I come across? I was chatting to my friend this week, and she is trying to reach 20,000 steps a day. And she was out walking with her, counting her steps with her Fitbit on. And as she was walking, she came across a house that one of her friends lives in. And she felt the Holy Spirit say, go and speak to your friend. And she had a choice. She could continue on her walk or she could go and speak to her friend, but she decided, I'm going to go. So she went to her friend's house, and obviously socially distanced and everything, but she went and she spoke to her friend. And, you know, her friend was really having a tricky time, and it was a really good thing. She knew in her heart this was a good thing to listen to the Holy Spirit, that she was able to talk with her friend and just be there for her. I had a situation this week too where I was out walking the dog, and I like putting a podcast in, and I was off walking, listening to a podcast, and it was a good one. And I saw this lady, and she got herself in a bit of bother. And so I took my podcast out and I helped her, and then I put my podcast back in and I kept walking. But I just felt also just the Holy Spirit speak to me in that moment saying, take notice. And I decided I'll take my podcast out, and I turned around and I saw her. She was just behind me, and I was able to chat to her. And, you know, we had a great conversation about the times that we're living in and looking for hope in these times. It's something that everyone can do with their everyday lives. It's living naturally, supernaturally, always ready for opportunities to invite the kingdom of God to break into everyday situations. We can so easily just miss these little opportunities. But when you go out asking God to use you, who knows what will happen? Living like this is such a great adventure. Always being willing and open. Never knowing what the Holy Spirit will use you for. And you know, it's such an exciting way to live. We are encouraged. Be wise with our time. Don't live foolishly and fritter away your life. Remember that life is short, and we should live being present to what God is doing in each moment. Be thoughtful and considerate, asking God to give you wisdom as you go about your day. And as things occur, your thoughts are on him and his ways. You will be ready in every situation to make the most of it. If we read on in Ephesians, it says this, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, when Paul uses the word filled here, it is in the present tense. The term be filled is something that is continual. A literal translation would be being filled with the Holy Spirit. At every opportunity, seek to be filled with the Spirit. We need to keep on being filled again and again and again. Paul is again contrasting living in a worldly way and living in a kingdom way. He is comparing drunkenness to being filled with the Spirit. Why do people get drunk? Well, people get drunk often because they want to escape from something. And drunkenness means that they are able to shut down their thoughts about things they don't want to face in their life. We use this phrase that people are drowning their sorrows, but this actually doesn't work. And Paul tells us in these verses that it will ruin your life as you become incapable of addressing or facing the issues that confront you. There's a better way to live, and it's out of loving kindness that Paul tells us, instead, be filled with the Spirit. The difference between this and drunkenness is it actually gives you clarity and wisdom, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to face life with this wisdom. Don't live foolishly without thinking or try and block out what life is about, but instead engage with life the way God wants you to live. A way where instead of covering up cracks and being in denial, you are given the wisdom you need to go through life. We have a choice to try and escape from life or to live a life on purpose. Now, we use a term when someone is drunk and we say they are under the influence. In fact, if someone gets arrested for drink driving, they get a DUI, which is driving under the influence. Instead of drinking too much alcohol and being under the influence of alcohol, we can actually live a life and be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 in the Message says it like this: drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him. You know when someone is under the influence of alcohol, right? Their speech changes, they might stumble or fall, they might not be able to walk in a straight line, their judgment becomes impaired. Well, just as you can tell when someone is drunk, you can tell when someone is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Their speech changes, God keeps them from stumbling, they walk in straight paths, and they become wise in their judgment. Paul says that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the overflow of that will be evident for other people to see. Ephesians 5:19-21 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Person who's filled with the Holy Spirit is singing and making music in their hearts. A spirit-filled person is one who worships from their hearts. If we look at Psalms, which are songs of worship, we are reminded that we can bring our whole lives to God, and he will answer us and deliver us and guide us. And as we sing these among ourselves as family, we remind each other that we are people who bring our lives to God. And it is God who is the source of our wisdom, no one or nothing else. We remind each other of the goodness of God and how he is the source of our lives. People who are spirit-filled are people filled with gratitude. You know, the more that we seek God, the more that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the more that he gives us wisdom to live, that makes us make the most of every opportunity, spending our time and doing what God says. We are then so filled with thankfulness as we see God's wisdom and transformative power at work in us and in others. And as we see the goodness of God in action, that fills our hearts with gratitude, and that gratitude overflows as we worship. And that leads to more time spent with God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is this ongoing cycle. When we seek God, obey and follow him, we have so much to be thankful for. Ephesians 5:21, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission. Be a person who builds relationships, submitting to one another. Think about how Jesus lived his life. He was a servant king, humbling himself and serving and lifting others up. Do you live a life where you build up or tear down? Are you encouraging? Who have you actually encouraged this week? Are you only on the lookout for yourself, trying to get the most out of life just for you? Or do you ask the question, how can I bless others? Do you look for opportunities to serve, to support and encourage one another, putting others before yourself? The Bible tells us in Luke 17:33, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. This turns what we think would be true on its head. When we are wise, we live like Jesus. The Spirit will lead us to serve people like Jesus does. Foolishness is a life just lived for yourself. It's in this life of submission that we begin to live life in all of its fullness. These things we've talked about are not the how we are filled with the Holy Spirit, but the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's really important to remember here that we are not the ones that do the filling. We are vessels, and it is God that fills us with the Holy Spirit. And in turn, these things increase our thirst for Him, and we desire to be filled more and more and time again. Our job is to ask God to fill us and make ourselves available to Him. When God tells us to do something and we put it into practice, that is when we truly are living wise lives. As we receive more of God and act upon the wisdom He gives us, then we increase our capacity to be filled more and more by Him. You know, we made a decision a few years ago when we were buying some gifts for our boys that we didn't want to just add to the endless pile of stuff. We decided that we would give them an experience that they would love and that they would remember long after the experience themselves. And we thought about each kid and what they would like. And we bought sports tickets for an event. We did a football stadium tour. And our youngest was a zookeeper for the day. Now, these memories will last with them and be with them forever. But some people think about being filled with the Spirit like this, that it's a one-time experience. I've heard people say, I was filled with the Spirit in 1990. Well, that's great. But what Paul is talking about here is this continual filling of the Spirit in our everyday lives. It's important to know about God, but we are invited to actually know Him, feel His presence and experience Him in a real way. An encounter with the Holy Spirit shapes us and lasts us more than just mere knowledge, of Him. You know, I want to spend time with my boys every day. I want them to tell me about their lives, about the good stuff so I can celebrate with them, and about the tough stuff so I can travel that road along with them. If our boys just had one great experience with us, they might remember it, but it wouldn't be what continually shaped their lives. The real learning takes place in the daily spending time with them. It's in these times that they are receiving from their parents wisdom on how to live. We are filling them up on a daily basis. And they, as they listen to us, they grow in wisdom and experience, and they have the capacity to receive more and more from us. But if our boys don't learn how to live from us, they are going to learn it from somewhere else. If we don't get our wisdom from God, we will end up looking for help and receiving guidance from elsewhere, and that leads to dead-end tracks and empty wells. If you want to be wise, immerse yourself in the truth of God's word and spend time daily in God's presence, asking for His Spirit to empower you. So in life, when you find yourselves in times of crisis and stress and you don't know how to deal with those situations, we can call on God for wisdom and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to get through these times. Psalm 1:2-3 tells us about those living a wise life. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. How do you live your everyday life? A way to answer this is to look at how you spend your time. Ask yourself, do I live a life of worship and gratitude to God and submission to others? Are you living a life of wisdom where you are thoughtful about how you spend the time that God has given you, asking the Holy Spirit to fill and empower you? Or have you fallen into the trap of believing that this world is all there is? What or who is influencing your life? Are you meditating on God's word, learning the truth about who you are and becoming aware of your identity? You have been called to live out of that identity in your everyday life, continually living in relationship with your Father. If you love someone, your desire is to spend time with them and be in that person's presence. I heard Rich Nathan say this: there is more to Christianity than something to believe. There is someone to receive. It's all about relationship. God loves you and his heart's desire is to spend time with you. And he wants for you to be in his presence. God is a God who's with his people, and we experience that through the Holy Spirit. He wants you to live a life full of his wisdom, experiencing life to the full. I believe that God wants to come in a fresh way and fill us all again today with his Holy Spirit.